No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
4 o'clock hour, Jay Foreman, Harrison on the ones and twos. Got a lot going on, obviously. We're going to continue along the text line, then get into some audio from today's press conference, obviously, on the heels of the new recruiting class, and we'll get into that as well. So hopefully we'll probably get into all of that in the first segment or two. But we'll start right off here. He says, 9174 says, anybody see Ryan Day winking at the media when answering the question of why he had a feeling and plan B for his headset going out working against Michigan? I did see that. You know what to expect. You think they're just going to just stop cheating?
Of course not.
There was a video of the only Michigan guy like behind their bench messing with the electrical thing. So, but at least he planned for it. That's a good, was a proper planning. You know, what proper preparation leads to a perfect execution or something like that. The P's or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you can execute cheating, yeah, but you can also have anti-cheating defenses.
All right. 16-11. He says he wants Jay Foreman to be linebacker coach.
What's the message to the team, Foreman?
I don't know. It'd be a bunch of explicit. He sent it in 5 times.
They really want to, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, or more than that. It must have been on repeat. Must have been a bad, you know, when you go into a cell phone area, it doesn't work. Derek in the car, he mentioned Ryan Walters at Washington, D coordinator. He's pretty good.
I don't like that. I mean, I don't mind that at all.
But I think he's presently employed, and Jed Fish is I like Jed, but I'm sure, I mean, he's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but sometimes you got to call somebody up and see what your price is if you really want them. Bill and Bennett says maybe we should look at a local high school coach, Millard South, and had an awesome defense this year. As a D coordinator, that's a big jump. Allen and Lincoln. Vince Carras, that's what he has. DC, a defensive coordinator candidate. He's up for the Art Broyles Assistant Award. Mississippi Mud Dog says a three-man front can work if you have the guys up front. You can tell how much we missed Ty and Nash this year. Bill Bush was on Big Red Wrap-Up and said what he thought we missed most this year was knockback up front. Those two were very good at holding the line of scrimmage up or knocking them back, regardless if they made the play or not. We didn't have that this year. Yeah, of course, they're two well-traveled players. You're going to miss them. And they were very productive.
Yeah, we're worse without the NFL talent.
Yeah, I mean, anybody would be. But exactly. I think the knockback is something that is more of a mentality. I remember Vic Fangio used to talk about we used to count them, knock them backs. So it was more just, you know, that it gets your mind into thinking, okay, we're going to finish and we're going to knock them back and, mm-hmm, and impose your will on them. It's more of a, you can see it, but it's more of something that you want to believe in with your belief system. And then how you play. 2040 says, I'm surprised that people are questioning the defensive scheme and not understanding, what the defense shows right away isn't what they end up in before the snap. That is 1,000% correct. I love you, 2040.
Yeah, I mean, just go watch Ohio State's defense. Yeah. They do probably most of it than anybody.
You never know what they have. A 3-3-5 is your starting point. A defense and offensive call is it gets you in motion. Then you have to execute. The defense has to adjust. Somebody has to win. I don't care if we run a two-man front. I want guys to win. We got to win more. Mm-hmm. And so that's got to be the big emphasis. Do your job and then be a good football player. Don't just do your job. And then do it with the intentions of, obviously, I would say you're playing individually, thinking collectively. That's what we were able to do. Jason will tell you, we all wanted to make a play, but we never did anything outside of the confines of the defense. But we also made plays that helped, you know, help Jason make plays. He did so forth and so on.
You also had the communication down.
Yeah,
like you need that. Like if you're gonna,
you need the communication. You need to move around the defense. You got to be intentional about your day.
Again, it goes back to just being like younger, not as much experience on there. I think that just showed a lot this year.
Yeah. Well, they had a couple of years to watch Ty and Nash. The best way to do it, really, really, you know, when you're not playing, why Emmett was able to have a really good year this year. He worked his tail off while he waited. So when he got a chance, it was just rinse and repeat. 47-30 or 46 says whoever we bring in needs to be able to bring an entire staff with him. I think if they're going to be successful, they need to choose who's going to be successful with them on the defensive side of the ball. There's some truth to that. But that most likely, I mean, okay, this is where I think it's funny, right? Because, okay, I think I remember when Scott came, he brought his whole staff.
Yep.
Everybody was excited until we started losing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was times that I heard other media people, well, let him hire him, and then but he can't bring all of his previous staff. He can bring some, and then he's got to hire people outside of his staff.
Yep.
So it's all just about whether it works or not.
Because I mean, it didn't work. And then we brought in, who was the Oregon? I think he was the Oregon offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then you brought him in there and it was like, Scott Frost got stopped calling plays. And that didn't work. Then we brought let's bring in Whipple.
Yeah.
It's like.
So it just depends. I've been on staffs where there was a lot of continuity, but then we hired a new coach and then everybody kind of worked under him and it was just fine. It just kind of depends. Gus Mohawk says, I'm hearing, is that
Dayton? The younger brother, I'm assuming.
He's hearing that Dayton Raiola might walk on and save the school scholarship. Highly doubtful. All right, he's getting me right. Prior preparation prevents piss poor performance. That's it. Is that the 5-piece, 6-piece? There you go. Hear me out here and have a really open mind. 1366. This is always funny when people
hear me out.
Hear me out. Carl Pellini. Not Bo, Carl Pellini. He's intense, and I'm not anywhere of any regions. Oh, come on now.
Good thing you didn't read all the way through there.
Yeah. 1705, I'm curious how Eck would do as a DC. He has done great at everything he's done coaching. Sure. But then he's got to coach special teams as well. That's a lot. And essentially, you'd be 2 head coaches.
Well, you could really want to shake it up right now?
I mean, you could do it. But you'd be spreading them pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got enough energy for it, obviously. Kevin Dawson, the 6P theory, prior planning prevents piss poor performance. Yes. The defense struggled. But the biggest issue for Nebraska is 4th and short and 3rd and short. No, it's 1st and 2nd down. You get into 3rd and 4th and short because you got to play better on 1st and 2nd down.
Mm-hmm.
8253 says tackling, right? Is that right? Resources lacking. And how about, oh man, my man Kip has maybe the best one.
I know, I like it a lot.
How about Connor Stallions?
Let's get the report. That defense is easy to call.
Yeah.
When you know what's coming. When you know what's coming.
Yeah.
He's probably got a different
name. Cubster says, how about Eck as DC and ask Snow to do special teams? It doesn't work. You just don't go and do something. I'm not coming at anybody, but you gotta be. Eckler has made himself. He was a linebacker coach here. He is hyper focused and made him one of the best special teams coaches in college football,
mm-hmm.
for a reason. You don't want, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a special team is something we've been begging for forever, and then we finally get a year where it's right, yeah. And it's like, they're fixed. Eckler, move on to something more.
All right, important. We're on it, yeah.
And it's like, we just talked about how important special teams were. And
I think he could do a defensive job before, because I think he did that
for sure, but I don't want to spread him.
He's coached guys before, so, or coached outside linebackers before, so he'd be just fine, but, you know, just kind of like, all right, well, no, you just kind of got our special teams back where they need to be. And next year's special teams, you know, opponents are going to be way harder. but we don't need you to do that anymore. Now we need you to fix our defense. Once the defense, we need you to go back to special.
Just get new hat every year.
Going back and forth like ping pong. 0739 simplify what you do on defense helps. That does. Gus Mohawk says thoughts on coaches that take the CEO route like Rule. Can you name any successful CEO type head coaches? I mean, Nick Saban.
Yeah, he was the
Ryan Day is now more of a CEO. I don't know how much it would be since Heartline's going to USF, but
past 2 years he's been
CEO. Most of them, yeah.
It's worked out.
You're a head coach. Now, if you're calling a play, sure, but I mean, CEO is more like your structure. That's the blueprint type, you know, what you want to make sure you do. We need coaches that can also coach and identify and agree on that identity, recruit kids to that identity, buy in, bring stability. I agree. We need better, tough football players on defense. Appreciate it. Said you and your crew are pretty tough. I'm going to tell you the first thing I would look for, and then we'll move on to Coach Rule in his clips after this, and then we'll get back to the text a little bit later. Leadership. A guy that's willing to, and leadership isn't always just like yelling at somebody when he's not touching the line. It's like, you know, it's like E.F. Hutton. When he talks, everybody listens.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story. Andre Johnson might be the quietest superstar ever in a diva position.
Yeah.
Right? Wide receiver. When I knew who he was just because of obviously my dad and Hurricane. But when he walked through, I'll never forget, I was with Jane Weir at Limebear. I walked in, I was like, yeah, that dude looks like a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's big. You could just tell, went about his business. Didn't say, he might have said 5 words his rookie year. It was just him and Jabbar Gaffney. He would just, you know, he was very respectful. But as we started playing and when he talked, everybody listened. And then he set the tone from a physicality standpoint, and that's what you want. You want guys like that.
Sue was kind of like that.
Yeah.
He was not a loud guy. Like, he was one of the nicest guys you'd meet.
Yeah, but when he got on the
football field, he scared the living daylights out of you.
Right. That's the way it needs to be. Mm-hmm. But then you had other guys that, you know, they're going to be your emotional leaders, but you need the guys that are truly intentful and authentic in their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know it till they get here, but that's one. When you do your background checks on these guys that you're recruiting in the portal, that's what you want, because you want them to be leaders in those said position groups as well. So, because they leave lasting impressions, and they generally, the younger guys will replicate what they've seen before.
Well, I think that's why the secondary has been one of the better intact unit for Nebraska over the years, regardless of coaching staff changes.
Yeah.
Like the player, that's been a player-led group for a while, and they got some NFL talent. They have dudes that have had success, so. Easy room to buy into, and the leadership passes on.
Yeah, because you know how to work. You know what, you know, you're going to communicate, and you're going to hold everybody accountable from the, you know, first team guy to fourth team guy. So, let's jump into some Rule stuff, and then in the second segment we'll look at the recruiting class.
Okay. Well, this one kind of sets up the recruiting class.
All right.
The thoughts on only one in-state recruit. Here's Matt Rule's thought process on it.
Yeah, you know, and congratulate. There's a ton of guys signing a lot of different places, and we're really, really happy for them. And, you know, I think over 3 years, our commitment to recruiting the state has been really, really solid. Jace was someone who just stood out to us. You know, he was fast. He's athletic. At the end of the day, when we go to recruit somebody, we have to say to ourselves, hey, can we beat Ohio State with this person? You know, can we beat Michigan with this person? And so Jace was a guy, when we looked at his height, weight, speed and all that, that we felt convicted on that he would. You know, some of the other ones didn't quite work out. Some of the other ones got offered early and they didn't want to come camp with us. I mean, it's just all those things happen. But I, you know, my hope is always that everyone ends up in the right place. You know, what I'd rather guys go somewhere and be happy than be unhappy, but be in state. So I wouldn't say we didn't recruit them. It's just, it didn't go all the way to the end. A lot of recruiting's evaluation, and we did the best we could with the information we had, and we'll continue to recruit the state. You know, I want guys who love Nebraska and love this place. We'll try to do the best we can moving forward.
So you have, Jay, your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think there's about 20 guys, the 20 guys probably going, and, you know, obviously a lot of them, obviously we've seen at Miller South and all that. So that brings a little bit more, you know, immense pressure into it. And, you know, the one thing I will say, a lot of those kids have been able to go out on a broader like spectrum as far as being, you know, evaluated and like on people's recruiting boards a little bit earlier, probably even as Matt Rhule was kind of getting here. When you think of Marion Jackson and Tamala, they've been on people's radars for years. And so, you know, them going other places, is, like you said, it is good. It's good for the state. It's good for Nebraska football. That means they got to really dig in and get in early on guys, because once they go out in the spring and summer, you know, you remember when Malachi Coleman, he got an offer, I think, from Miami and Georgia when he went down to Georgia to some sort of 7-on-7 thing. And you had other guys as well. I mean, I think there's other guys coming up the pipe. A couple guys, I remember he's a younger kid up there from the Elkhorn area or something. He has like a Penn State offer, and there's other kids as well that are 27s or whatever. And that's the same thing for a majority of these guys. So you're not able to get them. It sucks, because I know, you know, they got some good talent and been well coached, and you wish them the best. And obviously I wish they would be at Nebraska. The one thing about recruiting I'll say is this, is that you just never know when that merry-go-round comes around the second time. So that's why if you recruited them well and they want, you know, say they go somewhere, it doesn't work out. Say it doesn't work out with whoever you have here and it matches up, then, you know, it's not like when I came out, you'd pick, you couldn't go anywhere unless you wanted to sit out a year. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, and there'll be a year that he, you know, they might get six guys from Nebraska. It kind of just depends on.
The Millard South this year, I think, is what just made a lot of people scratch.
Yeah, they got
their
some
head.
Talent. I mean, you probably don't have a record-setting year with that many guys going places. I mean, it was 12, I think, on their team and like 20 total going to college. Like,
yeah, and it wasn't going, you know, to Wayne State College.
Yeah, you had a lot of guys going some places.
And, Army, Illinois, Iowa State.
But again, they were head, maybe a little bit farther ahead in the process that, you know, he mentioned going to camp. Those guys are probably looking to commit, and because they were on the scene for so long. You got to think, you know, give a shout out to Steve Warren. You know, a lot of those guys played for him, but they, you know, he takes them all across the nation. He doesn't just stay around here. They're down in Vegas. They're down in Texas. He's putting them in, you know, in a hot boiler to see, you know, to get them ready. And so that's just.
Also one of the regular season games didn't count.
Yeah. When they're playing for real. So it's just one of those years. But, you know, for Nebraska's, you know, class is a little bit smaller. So it probably lets you know that they feel good by their, we got a young roster.
Yep.
So that's where the development has got to start right now. These next 15 practices or however many they got is huge.
Well, let's get more on the recruiting since we're on it. Points of emphasis in the high school recruiting this year.
We wanted players at key positions that, you know, we felt like, you know, are hard to get in the portal. Like when you look at offensive linemen, you know, you want to continue to grow through high school recruiting, grow your own guys, and then supplement when needed. And so to go out and get, you know, three offensive linemen, we thought was really key to us. And then we wanted guys we thought would be difference makers, you know, obviously whether it's a place kicker, this is a windy place. This is a difficult place. And so someone that we thought could contribute, we have a great kicking room, and Eck just wants to continue to bring talent into there. You know, at the wide receiver position, you know, we wanted a big outside guy, and we believe that we got that with Nayland, and we wanted someone, the versatility of Larry, who could play inside and outside and just, you know, really competitive. Jamal, we want to run the football. I think we proved this year that a back could be featured here. And so we like the running back room, and really Jamal was a premier guy on our board, and we were able to get him and then hold on to him. We like our tight end room. I just walked through the indoor and Luke Lindemeyer has the tight ends in there, and they're running routes right now. I mean, we have a really good room, and Luke Sorensen, I think Sat did just an absolutely great job on him. Got a guy we targeted, a guy who can play both Y and flex out. So hard to find guys who can do both. Defensively, want to stop the run. A part of stopping the run is eliminating explosives outside and being able to play man and load the box. And Danny Odom's one of the premier corners in the country. And so we felt like he was just a no-brainer, a guy that we went all in on, and love his competitive nature, love really everything about him. Jace Reynolds was a guy that when he first came to camp, literally offered him on the spot, you know, really like his tape, but his traits are through the roof. And to me, he can, you know, he can play inside, he can play outside. So, so each guy was kind of hand selected. You know, we've recruited a lot of guys the first couple of years where we have a big roster. We are, you know, a young team. And so it was just, hey, let's be really selective here now. in this class. You know, we continue to build the 27 class, which we think will be a special one as well. But just some guys we thought could come in. And I think a lot of these guys we think can play early based upon just kind of their mindset.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a good dive into, you know, what he was looking at and went into all those players.
Kind of gives you a rundown on the 2026 guys they do have.
So let you know maybe they're going to the portal for D-linemen.
Yeah, because
there's no
talk about stopping the run, and he had Danny Odom, the corner, to throw out there.
Well, I'm just saying, just looking at it, you got three offensive linemen, one linebacker, but a D lineman. So we'll see. We'll take a quick break, come back. We'll look at each one of these 10 commits. Another kicker from Australia. So that's good luck there. A lot of pressure to live up to.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This buddy was lights out, so you better be lights out as well. Jay Foreman Harrison. Old school. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, Harrison, second segment. Old school in the building. The 2026. We want to welcome all these Husker guys coming in. Hopefully, I don't know how many are early enrollees. I'm assuming right now, majority of guys like to come in early. Gives them a head start, man. You're able to kind of get here, get your feet wet, and you know, kind of get a Cliff Notes version of college.
Hey,
yeah, you know,
sometimes the Cliff Notes work. Yeah,
hey, it works in that case. Get to chill, take Greek mythology. Start out. I'm an academic, about to be academic All American until the season starts. But so you welcome with the open arms and wish them all the best, and you know they'll do well. Just got to put in the work. This is just the start. Now you got here. Now you got to reset and start over. So, obviously, the top of the class is high four-star, five-star corner Danny Odom, which is a big get. You know, he's 6'2", 180, and his tape's impressive. He goes and high points the ball, and you want him competitive out there to, you know, go down there and hopefully, you know, lock a guy up, play man-to-man.
And before we get too far, though, we do have a rule on if the recruits are enrolling early, which ones.
Oh, yeah.
So,
let's rule. Hear that.
No, I believe that Jace is coming in the summer and Hayden is coming in the summer. Everyone else will be here early. And then, you know, as schedules allow, hopefully a lot of them will be able to be on the bowl trip with us.
So you got a couple that
will. Dang. Yeah, so all of them.
Pretty much all of them but two.
Well, Jace lives here.
Yeah.
And we say Hayden.
Yeah, Hayden.
Yeah, he lives in Biloxi, Mississippi. He needs to bring some shrimp up with him when he comes in the summer. So we need to send him an email. I'm going to DM him and say, look, we're going to have you on the show. We're charging you to be on the show. I want some shrimp when you come up from Biloxi, Mississippi.
6'5", 305 pounds.
Yeah,
he knows where the good shrimp is.
Hey, never missed a good meal. I like it that they're all going to be here. It's good for them. You know, these guys got a lot of benefits of being a high school athlete right now. You get to come. You get to go to a bowl game. You get to go on a bowl trip. You kind of get a head start again on the playbook. Then you get to go home for, you know, winter break or whatever you call it. And then you get to be a college student while most, or at least when I was finishing up high school. And you get a head start. You get to get in the weight program. You get to get on the nutrition plan, academics, and all that.
It's like, man, I imagine if you're a high school student, that's like, why wouldn't you want to? Especially at a place like Nebraska.
If you're trying to,
you're like, those facilities, like you're telling me I could tune up down there.
I'm assuming you get a little money in your pocket. I mean, it's
you watch
it's,
movies in the theater room, like
get a PlayStation 5, get a haircut, play a little golf. But
get your work
done.
These kids, top all the fun stuff, like opportunity to get way better.
Yeah. Graduate, get a master's if you really, dig into it. So you know, Danny Odom was the top of the class, as obviously was a big deal for Rule and staff. And then you got Big Claude, who has basketball highlights. That's what I like, 6'8", 260. Obviously needs to get in the weight room. I'm just going off what he's on his On Three Rivals height and weight. So offensive tackle. So right away, that the fact that he played basketball at a pretty good level, you like his feet. Now you just got to get him a little bit stronger and getting probably a technique. Mount Carmel High School, I think, is that where Trey Taylor went?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Trey Taylor went there, right?
A big boy. Goes there. 6'7".
Yeah.
308 pounds. Let me just double check. Trey Taylor. No, he's a Carmel Catholic.
Oh, okay. I know it was a Carmel in there. But anyways, at least a familiar face. I'm sure they know each other. You got Nalen Scott, big receiver, 6'2", 210, from Georgia. You know, so that's a big 50, you know, 50-50 ball type, you know, guy that can stretch it a little bit. So you like that, right? So you keep, you know, replenishing that wide receiver room that's already has a lot of, you know, good young players in there. And you got Larry Miles from Florida. So you think of your Corey Barney type, 5'11", 175, right? So a little water bug in there. You know he's going to be tough as nails. So he'll be able to kind of come in there and learn from Ja'Cory Barney, you know, learn how to prepare and learn how to compete. Plus, he's a Florida kid. I'm sure they all kind of know each other and pull for each other. Luke Sorensen, the tight end from California. He's a big, you know, a three-star recruit going towards four. They had their eye on – they were set on him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, you know, Coach Rule said that Satterfield liked him, wants to coach him, and then it was a guy that they really, really wanted. So, you know, they're glad they were able to get him. Then you got the next no relation, Jamal Rule from Charlotte Christian. I've seen him play live twice. Will Wagner, kid that I trained and mentor, goes to Providence Day. Played against him, and they had a lot of respect for him. You know, talking to some.
They're pretty
coaches.
High on him early. He was one of those recruits. Yeah.
Good quickness, stars big back.
Three star. They were talking highly of him a lot.
He's a big back, can make guys miss. Somewhat, you know, runs pretty physical. I mean, you know,
he looks like an old school Nebraska back, his style.
So he's got to come in and just learn. I mean, I think running back's probably the easiest position if you have the opportunity to come in and make an impact. See the hole and hit it. Now, the biggest thing is pass protection, which he didn't have to do much in high school. And you're not going against these type of athletes. So then I got our boy Hayden Ainsworth, interior offensive lineman, and, you know, Waterman as well from Chandler, Arizona. Both of them are big kids. So they're just going to come in and continue to get better and develop. I think it takes linemen generally a year or two to get, you know, into, you know, just you're strong in high school to get grown man strength.
Yeah, they could go do some work in like the Big 12.
Yeah. But no, they'll be ready. I mean, they just got, you know,
well, I'm saying for year one, like in the Big 10, like it takes a little bit before you're ready to go out.
Like
there.
We, you know, back when like Nick Gates played, you know, that he was still a freshman, and even Turner Corcoran, I think, played some as a freshman. But you generally don't want to play offensive linemen as freshmen unless they really are physically and mentally capable to handle themselves out there, because their bodies are still growing and developing.
Well, it's a lot on the playbook too.
Yeah,
like when you're going up against a, you know, college defense opposed to whatever high school.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, those schemes get a little bit more complicated when that defense is shifting the way it is.
Right, and then you got Jace Reynolds, the linebacker up there, Elkhorn North, up and coming sports program in general, but football team, you know, has some good athletes. They got, you know, a couple other people going to other places, so he can run. You know, I think that he jumped out to them when he ran or tested at a camp. They offered him on the spot. And so, you know, linebacker's a position of need. You know, we had Dawson Merritt and a big man from Westside that came in as well, Jones. Then after that, you know, as far as youth goes, you know, Jace is the next man up because they didn't recruit another linebacker in this class. So, you know, you got to come in and develop and play well. You immediately can insert yourself on special teams and while you're earning your stripes to get onto the first or second in the depth chart. So opportunity is there. He's in a good position to make an impact just based on numbers and opportunity. Now, I don't know who's coming in the portal. I'm just talking about what you got right now.
Mm-hmm.
Seniority leaving. And Michael Tariki. How do you say that? Tariki's.
If that's right. I might be butchering that too. Yeah, another pro kick Australia guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, congratulations to him for all those guys. If I had that opportunity, I'd take it. I don't know. There's a lot of like older dudes just coming into college from that Pro Kick Australia. It's like you look across, all these kickers are like 25, 26 from Pro Kick. Archie was different. He was a young cat.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting development. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the Pro Kick Australia has taken over.
Yeah. Good for them. And maybe it's the rugby or Aussie rules football. They just got a little bit of leg up.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody from America will go over there and study what they're teaching over there and bring it back.
I mean, the high school is literally Pro Kick Australia.
Yeah.
So
it's like an IMG for kickers.
100%.
Yeah, good for him. So anyways, look, it's always good to have a kicker. And so, you know, he's going to make his trek over here. And, I mean, heck, he's one of the dudes that might be early enrollee. Isn't that what? So he only said Jason and Hayden, right?
Yeah, so he'll be here.
Yeah.
Okay, unless he misspoke.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect him to be here. I would.
That'd be one where
I'd take my time.
Yeah, you kick. I'm kicking in Australia.
Yeah, it's a little cold. Yeah, my blood low thing. So, yeah, so yeah, we'll see. You know, good class, small class, mixed in with last year's class, and then obviously, you know, I'm assuming it's going to be quite a bit of action in the portal.
Yeah, the challenge is we talked a little bit off air. You got keeping that 2027 class together.
Yeah,
because you know that this year's class was going to be light. Already heading into it based on your numbers.
Yeah.
And you're hoping that the 2027 class holds together.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that, you know, you got to stair step your classes. You know, you got maybe a bigger class last year, smaller one this one, bigger. And then it all kind of depends on, you know, who stays committed and who is in the portal, who's not. So, you know, you just got to deal with right now, which is 2026, which starts right now. This is a look see into 2026 season.
Well, you win games. I mean, that's the easiest way to keep classes together.
That's so, it. Yeah. But do you start by winning your games right now?
Yeah,
when you start practicing game. For a bowl game, you saw it last year, and that can, you know, obviously leave a good taste in your mouth going into the offseason. Gus Mohawk has a question. I'm going to ask you here, Harrison. If you were the GM at Nebraska and TJ shows out in the bowl game, how are you going about the QB position? That's the first question. Can you pay Dylan $3.5 million and have an open QB battle in the offseason? If I'm paying Dylan,
is he getting $3.5 million? Is that really what he?
I'm just asking. That's what he's saying.
All right.
If I'm paying him $3.5 million, there ain't no question. There is no competition.
Yeah, you're $3.5 million. Something
you might get paid, but you still the backup, Jack. Mm-hmm. Chill. You'll be all right. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what he does. But $3.5 million—that is.
I think what the
you're three, committed with that number.
Three or three and a half. Heck, $2.5 million you committed.
Yeah.
Heck, $1 million we're committed. I think that here's the best thing about, I mean, you know, Dylan's hurt right now. So I know the biggest thing you gotta get is just mentally just stay in it and just kind of just be patient. That's the hard thing to do. It's the first time you ever been, you know, injured. So he's gotta get there. But he still has talent. He started a lot of games at Nebraska. He's won, you know, he took it to bowl game 2 years, so you can't just throw that into the garbage.
Ray Pumpkin chimes in there and says, yes, Dylan makes $3.5 million. I thought it was $2.5 million.
Must
got a pay bump. But, yeah, you're locked in.
So I look at it like this, man. Everybody's going to be challenged in your life and in your career, in your sports career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your first initial reaction, and I've done this, so I'm talking from experience, is you're like, bump this. I've earned it, which in his mind he has, and he has in reality. Like, why should I have to compete? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to get a little bit of F you. I'm going to show you. Actually, I'm going to just show you what I already know and then raise your game. Because later on in his career, if he's able enough and plays well enough to get to the pros, I can guarantee you, you're going to be in a competition every year in training camp, no matter your contract. Now, I'm dead serious. You've seen quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins is a perfect example.
Yep.
He just signed a huge contract. They brought in another guy, and I don't necessarily know if he got beat out, but they're bringing in competition. So don't get it twisted about that. This is a professional sport. You're always in competition, and it's not about what you've done. It's what can you do for me right now, and what are you going to do? And it's a good proving ground for it. It's a great way to learn how to embrace it. I always felt like if I could get into a flat-out competition with somebody, you know, contracts not being – you know, too outlandish in one way or another, I felt like I could beat him out. That was fostered and earned and learned here, reluctantly, you know, straight up. So, either way, I think you're in a good position. TJ's probably going to have some suitors. Nebraska has to make a decision. I'm sure people always are calling Dylan. Dylan and Nebraska got to make a decision. But at the end of the day, you don't have a better you don't have a better place to be for either quarterback, and particularly Dylan, than here.
Well, I mean, and if you know you're giving a guy $3.5 million, is one good game from or two good games from TJ Lesif going to be like, all right, you know, we just gave this guy $3.5 million. I wasn't really that sure when we initially gave it to him, so we're going to switch gears. I mean, if you're giving a guy that much money, you're set on him, and you have the belief that he can be that. Yeah, you're not giving him that money.
You could give him that money, but we still got to see. We got to raise it
for
up.
Sure. It's
because as we raise your pay, as you raise your pay,
mm-hmm.
then that's what I that then that same with my expectations and standards, and that and you got to be fine with that.
Yeah, but it's also it's like it's Dylan's to lose. In a sense that doesn't mean he's guaranteed to have that spot forever. But if you're getting that much money, they have that initial belief that you can be that guy. Unless you start going out there and showing that, you know, you don't got it at all, then you see.
That ain't going to happen. I mean, and, you know, look, there's a lot of things that got to happen. Everybody else is got to play well, too.
Yeah, right? Of course.
You can't be like Carson Beck, be it at Georgia, and the receivers lead the nation in drops.
Yep.
Right? So you got to.
Carson Beck defender these days.
Me?
Yeah.
It's factual. And Todd McShay says so too.
There it is.
So
that part.
I'm just telling you, man. Yeah. Not because he's at the Canes. Look, Carson Beck has the biggest fumble ever. You left Georgia, went down there, and did the ultimate trick off the field. So that's on you. I'm not a Carson Beck defender. I'm just saying, you know, you could play well, and if Jay Foreman doesn't catch, then it's not the quarterback's fault. That falls on me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're throwing it to, you know, the first or second row, well, then that goes to you. So it all goes into. So the, you know, everybody's need to, you know, you got to play well, offense line, tight ends and all that stuff. We can get, you know, that's another date. So anyways, we're up against the break. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Quick segment before Jason Peter comes on at 5. Jay Foreman Harrison, we'll be right back. What up, we're back. Jay Foreman Harrison, old school. Quick segment here. We'll get back on the 5 o'clock hour. Gus Malgaug. Everybody putting people's business out there. I didn't know it. Dang, I wish I was a college quarterback. Making that quant.
Yeah. Maybe a
nice little check.
Crazy
era
to grow up in. And it's all guaranteed.
Yeah.
Once you get there.
Yeah. You just gotta make it work. You know, look, you gotta go out and earn it and see where it's at. But
you got Travis in here. I'm not gonna say the first part, but shout out Travis. Says, I don't give a damn how much a player is making. If someone is better, bench the $1 million player for the $500,000 player. I get that. And if you need to, do it. All I'm saying is if you're giving a guy that much money,
you're seeing it through.
You're gonna have to see it through until he gives you.
You're gonna have to be like Nussmeier and LSU, but that was when the coach got fired and stuff. It's necessarily not gonna happen. I mean, Dylan he's played pretty consistent. He's gotta get better at some stuff. No matter if they have a competition or they put pressure on him to get better, you got to get better at some things.
Yeah, and the rest of that offense.
There's nobody on the team that has figured this game of football out. It's a hard game to figure out.
My Bears are figuring out, though.
They are. They're impressive. I know who you think more impressive. I'm probably more surprised by the Patriots.
I mean, if we're being real here, the Patriots are more impressive.
They won 10 in a row.
And they're beating teams. Like we're winning games. They are, obliterating some of these opponents.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good hire with Vrabel. I honestly thought if we didn't get Johnson, I would have wanted Vrabel. So 2 for 2 on the coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
I always thought Vrabel was a phenomenal coach.
Oh, he's a really good coach.
Going to Patriots. Like, I think that was just, I didn't hear anybody say like, I don't know about that one. I think everyone was like, yeah, that'll work. The only thing that surprised everybody is like how quickly that.
Yeah, nobody expects them to be 10-2 right now, number one.
And then Henderson's really starting to pick up his game because Diggs hasn't even had that season where he's been just a good receiver.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're Drake just May. Collectively killing people. Yeah, Drake May's been phenomenal.
Yeah,
who would you take, Drake May, or I'm not going to ask you. He'll take Drake May. I was going to say Williams, but I think it'd be fair to say Drake.
Yeah, I'll probably. Right now, I don't know if I'm building a franchise.
Yeah.
I think Williams for Chicago is needed and Drake May for New England is needed. So it depends on where you're at.
All right. Wrong answer.
I mean, they both provided. I mean, Williams is like that enticement of like upside and playmaking ability.
Mm-hmm.
Probably lacks in leadership skills. Drake May has leadership skills. Not so flashy, but he's kind of.
I think that's why him and Vrabel are just such a perfect.
Yeah, on a short lease.
Yeah.
But he's a good athlete, though.
He is. He's better than people give him credit for. We're talking Drake May, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a really good athlete. Mm-hmm. But real quick, Jackson Dark, my brother.
His comments are crazy.
Yo,
I'm assuming that's where you're going.
He got blasted.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Blasted. And it was funny, though, too, because he really thought he was going to get away with it. You ain't a vet yet, homie. He thinks he's that frat boy stuff ain't working in the league. You're going to get lit up. You keep doing that. You're going to be in concussion protocol for the rest of your life.
Well, he's going to keep getting lit up because I don't know if you heard his press conference. Everybody's like, this isn't soccer. Like, I know it's not. That's why you need to get the hell out of bounds. Yeah. It's like, you're going to.
Well, Robert Griffith III learned from Haloti Ngata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. Like, I don't want to see you get lit up and then your career end up short. I mean, you got him and Scataboo.
Both of you already been asleep.
Couple wrecking balls coming your way, but disregard for your health and theirs sometimes.
And a losing team. Yeah. You don't even know who your coach is, man. Chill out. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back. 5 o'clock hour. Jason Peters should be in studio. Finish out this hump day. Jay Foreman Harrison will be right back.